with, you will only be able to hear me. Those who are here will get to see, but those who are watching will only get to hear me. I'm not so much concerned about me, because the governments that are the nations that we go to, the worst thing they can do to me is to deny any future visas to visit their countries. But I don't want to jeopardize any of the people that we were with. So I'm not going to mention the countries, and I'm not going to mention the names. I have the names listed here, and I would ask that the people here would write down those names and make them a matter of prayer. I might mention our teammates, because that's common knowledge, but I will be as discreet as I can be. All right. I want to thank you all for your prayers, because they were much needed, and the trip, as you see the dates here, were supposed to be May 23rd to June 11th. I came back June 1st, and that's because I got sick over there pretty bad and needed to come home. It was not an emergency in that I wasn't dying, but there was a day or two that I felt like, you know, maybe it would be better. But anyway, thank you for your prayers. But first, I want us to look at something special about yesterday. Yesterday, which is June 29th, it was called the Day of the Christian Martyr. And what is the Day of the Christian Martyr? It's the day to honor and remember all those who have given the ultimate sacrifice in service to the Lord Jesus by giving their lives for his name's sake. According to tradition, the Apostle Paul died, he was martyred on June 29th, many years ago, maybe 68, AD 68. And so this is the choice of the date for the Day of the Christian Martyr. Every Christian is a martyr in the sense that the only difference is that some are dead and some are still alive. The word martyr comes from the Greek word for witness that's found in Acts 1:8 that we're going to read in just a little bit. A witness was someone who affirms the truthfulness of a matter. If you're ever called to testify in court, they're going to ask you, do you solemnly swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And so you say yes, because you're expected as a witness to tell the truth. So this is what the apostles did when the book of Acts was written, and it's what we are called to do today. Richard Wurmbrand founded The Voice of the Martyrs, which is a magazine highlighting Christian martyrs around the world, even today. And he said, we are not all called to die a martyr's death, but we are called to live a martyr's life. There was an interesting flyer that came with their material. And some of you may remember this. Excuse me. Is there a little feedback? I'm thinking there's a little feedback. In June 2014, militants from the self-proclaimed Islamic State, ISIS, advanced across Syria and northern Iraq. As they entered each village, they marked Christians' homes and businesses with the Arabic letter N for Nazarene. This symbol served to identify and threaten Christians who then had a difficult decision to make: convert to Islam, leave the area, or be killed. More than 100,000 Christians were forced to flee in the stifling heat. Most escaped with only the clothes on their backs, and many died on the road or were taken by ISIS. Separated from their loved ones, these bold Christians refused to deny Christ. They were willing to give everything for the Savior who had given his life for them. And it's one thing for us to sing, as we did here this morning, about laying down our lives. We can do that in the comfort of these United States and the freedoms that we enjoy here. But it's another thing to live in a country that does not have those same freedoms. And it is often hard for us to imagine, as I was speaking to some former co-workers not long ago about my trip and about the persecution that often goes on there, and it was just beyond them. They had never heard of anything like that. They'd never heard of armed soldiers barging into a church meeting and shooting up the place and threatening to kill everybody there and burning Bibles, because we don't experience that here. But that is real throughout the world. So our identity is our mission. What do I mean by that? Well, let's read Acts 1:8 aloud together. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the farthest parts of the earth." And if you'll notice what it says here, "you will be my witnesses." And there's your word for where martyrs come from, martyrs. You will be my witnesses. Jesus didn't say in this promise, "you will do witnessing." He says, "you will be witnesses, my witnesses." Some translations read, "witnesses unto me." That's why I say our identity as witnesses is our mission in this world. We just sang about having a purpose to live. Do you understand what your purpose is? Your purpose is not to pursue the American dream. Your purpose, wherever you are, with whatever you have, is to be Christ's witness in this world. So, let's talk about the first country where I went and what I was able to participate in, though I wasn't able to participate in everything. This is where the mission began. And we had three destinations. We flew into there. Then we flew there Friday. We spent Friday night, Saturday night in a guest house. Sunday morning, we drove from there all the way up here to this city, which is very close to another nation here, and you'll see that in a little bit. And then after church, we did that Sunday, we participated in church there. After church, we drove back here to here, and I told you the story last week about God's wonderful intervention in protecting us with the car and how we got back to the guest house safely, and then the CV joint went out. And that was just a wonderful protection. That day was 108 degrees during the hottest part of the day. And then from there, Monday, we drove on up here to this town, this city where we had camp. So those were the three destinations in this country. The ministry on Sunday was just with Jonathan and me. Jonathan was asked to speak there, so I didn't really do anything but be there. They were excited I was there, but you know, any foreigner. So this is the church. This is the outside of the building. And they have a good witness in this town. They even have a peace center here where it says interfaith, but that means they're trying to have a good witness in this town. And apparently, the town has like 2 million people, and 10% of the people there in that area are Christians, which is surprising in this country. And I was talking to the pastor about their witness there, and he said that, because you're going to see a picture here in just a little bit, maybe I'll go there. Let me go back. All right. This is the founder of the church. And you can see who he started the church. He began the church to work among this group of people. And you remember I said that the town we were in was very close to another country. Well, that's the other country. So it's very, I want to say, precarious, can be dangerous, because you know what happened to that country and what's going on there now. But he's the founder in 1873. He was there 1873 to 1890. And when we speak about martyrs, this church has a history of martyrs ever since its founding. In fact, they told me the story that the church building used to be a mosque, and so they wanted to turn it into a church. And so to do that, part of the renovation was to put a steeple on top. Well, when they tried to put the steeple on top of this building that now is going to become a church, every man who tried to put the steeple up was killed. He was shot. Six men tried to put the church steeple on. Well, it eventually got put on there by a woman. Because there was a woman who was a believer who took it upon herself that she was going to put it up. And they didn't shoot her, because you don't shoot women. See, ladies, how privileged you are. But this is a plaque that they have of a medical missionary who was martyred in 1918. And this is a plaque to him. If you go inside the building, they have a whole wall of people connected with this church, missionaries and members, and you'll read, not everyone, but plaque after plaque will say when they were martyred. So there's a history of martyrdom here with this church. And this is a special monument that they have outside that church. It is a memorial to suicide bomb attack victims that happened in 2013 after the morning service. Two suicide bombers went into this church and blew things apart. This is just a small list of the people who were killed. The rest of the names are on the other sides of this monument of people who were killed because they were Christians. This is the inside, and I identified it as the sanctuary because the sanctuary we think of, you know, we're right now in the sanctuary. So this is a shot of it empty, but then the real sanctuary people is right here. The people are God's sanctuary. That's what God is building right now. He's building a holy temple by his Spirit in which he dwells. And that's his sanctuary. These are your brothers and your sisters over here. They make them sit separately. Maybe we should start that. Ladies, you're going to be on this side. Men, you're going to be in this. Now, the singing won't be as good then anyway. But these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You've got them all over the world. I'm going to show you some more pictures of some more of your brothers and sisters. They're a different color. They speak a different language. They have different customs, different ways of living, doing things, different economic status. They're your brothers and sisters. These are people here, and there's about 100 families in this church. And they were there to worship Jesus. This is the front. It's kind of a little different than what we have, don't you think? And it's quite elaborate. And here you have the pastor and then Brother Jonathan, who's speaking, and the pastor is interpreting. And let me show you. After church, they have a great tradition in this country of drinking tea. If that's for me, tell them I'll call them back. They have their tea time. So we got to enjoy tea after church. And it's always sweetened tea with milk. And it's quite tasty. But this is the pastor there. And then this is his assistant. And I was quite surprised that the assistant has a tie on, like in the West. And the pastor was in his robe there. And he often wore that. I mean, that really is what he wears even when he goes out. And he also was at the camp. And I asked him about that. I said, don't you call attention to yourself for persecution as you go out wearing your obviously Christian attire? And he said, oh, no, not in the town where he lives. He said, in fact, the town where he lives, they have encouraged them to demonstrate, show their Christian symbols and attire, and even they were able to do a prayer walk throughout the town, which is absolutely amazing. Now, he did say in other parts of this country, they have forbidden the pastor from wearing the attire except when he's in his church on Sundays. If he's outside, he's got to take all that off. But not here in this city where he lives. So they're bearing a great testimony to Jesus in that community. They're very liturgical. They had an order of service. We celebrated communion, and it was kind of a different way of doing it, but it still had the same significance. Okay, so here's our team. That Monday, after Randy joined us, he flew in from Africa. Then we traveled up to camp. And this is the team, and I want you to remember these names. This is the wife, and this is the husband. And yes, that's spelled correctly, and yes, that is a guy's name. This is the team. They were our host and hostess. They took very good care of us, and were greatly concerned when we got sick. And here's the camp where we went and did the training. And I always like to have a picture of me somewhere to prove that I was there and that I actually did go where you were sending me. And here's some more training going on. Brother Randy is doing the training. And you have, this is another story of God's providence. Randy gave the overview of the material, GPHD, God's Plan for His Disciples. He gave an overview, and he was able to teach part of Tuesday. Tuesday, later, after his presentation, he got sick. Apparently, he got something, brought something from Africa with him, but he was out. So, Jonathan and I, let me go back, Jonathan and I were able to teach Wednesday. Randy did Monday evening and Tuesday morning. Jonathan and I did Tuesday afternoon. And Tuesday evening, I gave them their assignment. Wednesday, I got sick. That's when I started getting sick. Providentially, Randy was better. He was back to his normal self. So he was able then to teach. Jonathan was having some issues, but nothing to debilitate him. So he was able to continue on. And in fact, Wednesday, he took out of this group a group of people that he had been working with God's Plan for His Church. He had been working with them for a year via Zoom. And they finally finished the manual, and here they're having a graduation for them and the presentation of their certificates. And I was fine for most of this. This is now Thursday evening. They're presenting this. I was fine for most of it until I got lightheaded and thought I was going to pass out. And it was... Fortunately, behind me there, behind me is a desk. So I was able to sit down when I started feeling myself get lightheaded. But anyway, the Lord brought me out of that. This is a group of those who went into the second manual and completed it. Here's a picture of everybody who is there, or most everybody who is there. Here are some key people. Here is our host again. And this man is our host's spiritual father. He led him to the Lord. And he did a lot of our interpreting as well. Very godly man. Very wise man. I had an opportunity to talk to him a little bit. A sense of humor. Just a good man. And has a ministry of his own and has had a great influence on this brother. And then this is another brother. I don't know if you can see that. Well, I should have made it bigger. This is the pastor of the church that we sponsored the printing of 500 manuals. So he was able to be there, and I was able to meet him and, again, get to know him a little bit, not as much as I wanted to because I was sick. Let me see. Okay, before we end the camp training, I want to ask you to offer up some prayers here. This is the prayer that they have requested. This, our host and hostess would very much like to have a baby. And some of you can relate to that, who maybe have longed for a baby or, you know, prayed for a baby. They'd very much like to have a baby. So she asked specifically if we would pray for that. So I said, I'll pray for it, and I'll even want your picture, and I'll ask our people to pray. Then this brother has a vision for Bibles. He wants to distribute 1,000 Bibles because they have a project, a mission that they're planning to go into areas that are unreached, and he wants to have Bibles. And he said you can get the Bibles through the American Bible Society, but they're $8 a piece. So 1,000 Bibles would be $8,000. So I told him we'd pray about that as well. And then I asked for boldness for both these because they're going into that unreached group. I think it's later on in the year, September, October. And then this brother here with his church, this pastor, he sent me a text message after the training and really appreciated it. And he said he wants to present the material to the higher ups in his denomination because he wants to encourage them to get back to the scriptures, because apparently the leaders are very much into tradition. And he wants them to get back into the scriptures and do things according to scripture. So I encourage him to do that, but that may take some boldness. This is his church here in another part of that country. And I may have already shown you this picture. Here are the manuals that we bless them with. And he's in the process of training or using those manuals. But this is after the training. And what does 2 Timothy 2:2 say? Anybody know that offhand? The things that you have learned from me, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is after the training, and he sent me this picture. He didn't waste any time. He is right at it, going. And we encourage people to say, If you're going to go through this manual, you go through it, and then you get another manual, and you find somebody else, and you go through it with somebody else. Because this discipleship manual is well received. It is on a level that people who may not have much education or those who have a lot of education, it's on everybody's level that they can read this, they can go through the material, they can answer the questions and benefit from it. And it covers the whole gamut of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Okay, I put this slide up. Man plans, but God directs. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Proverbs 19:21, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." And James 4:15 says, "You ought to say instead, if the Lord is willing, then we will live and do this or that." And this is where things changed for Randy and me, that because I was really not up to continuing the mission, and Randy thought it necessary to come home with me, we changed our plans and came back. And I want to just read a little bit of what Randy said to his prayer partners. He said, "Plans. Here is some wise advice. Plan well and be ready to change. This is not what we want, but it is what we experience many times. Over 25 years ago, Ephesian philosopher Heraclitus wrote, 'The only constant in life is change.'